Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Thank you for coming out this rather frigid morning. If I'm not mistaken, I'm pretty sure the temperature was 19 or colder when we got in. And it's only supposed to get colder between now and Monday. It's a blessing that I'm here. I'm pretty sure Dad had to chip me out of the ice block I was frozen inside of this morning. But, yeah, I'm not a fan of cold. But that's okay. Cold is just another thing. It'll get warm at some point.
Someday. It's warm somewhere.
Yeah, somewhere.
Just not here.
Kind of makes me jealous. Rachel talking on the Christmas Eve service had 75 in Florida. I'm sitting here thinking I'm moving to Florida. But, nah. It'll get warm next year. I hope.
Yeah. Starting tomorrow.
Especially if you listen to all the media, you know, global warming. I've yet to see it. I've yet to see it myself, but oh well. Okay, enough of that. So this morning, we'll be reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Now everyone who competes exercises self-control in everything. They do it to receive a perishable crown, but we an imperishable crown. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly, or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. This is the word of the Lord.
Praise be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, thank you once again for bringing us into your house. Thank you for giving us the strength and the ability. Now, Lord, open our hearts, open our minds so that we may hear your word and read it and understand it. Help us to apply it, Lord. And as we close out this year, help us to enter the new year with you. And please continue with us as we continue to strive closer to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so as we all know, and as we've already talked about, this is the last day of 2017. I'm sure if you have a Facebook account, you've read numerous little factoids about the new year and little things like that. I read one how this is the last day where all of the minors were born in the 2000s and all of the adults were born in the 1900s.
Really?
I saw that and I thought, huh, that's interesting. I must be getting older. And so, one of the things that we all think about when it comes to December 31st is New Year's resolutions. And so, and I'm sure everyone's heard of the New Year, New Me thing. If you haven't, I'm sure you will at some point. Some people like to laugh at and say, I'm going to be the same person next year that I was this year. Some people say they're going to change everything. Mom always says, I'm just going to keep on keeping on. And that's one of the best resolutions I've heard of.
Does she keep it every year?
She's still here.
All right.
And there's nothing wrong with a resolution. There's nothing wrong to say that you want to change something about you. There's nothing wrong with saying, well, okay, in theory, there's nothing wrong was saying you don't want to change anything. But it does show that humans have this this innate desire for some kind of a change. Now, if you're like me, you hate change. It makes me anxious. When I went to the Marine Corps, I was wondering, how am I going to get there? What am I going to eat? What's going to happen? When I arrived at Paris Island, I arrived in the middle of a thunderstorm, the kind where the lightning's streaking across the sky and you see it. That was interesting. It made me anxious, but eventually I rolled along with it. Same thing when I got out. I was anxious as to what was going to happen. And here we are, and here I still am. Many things have changed this year as well. I don't even remember what my resolution was for this year, so I can't tell you if I kept it or not, so I apologize. But I can say that many things have changed this year, as I'm sure they'll continue to change next year. And they made me anxious. And to some people, they love change. Something changes, they think it's the greatest thing in the world. It could be that the fact that they painted their wall white instead of green. And again, nothing wrong with that. But with New Year's resolutions, we talk about change. So this morning, I have three things that we're going to discuss. Number one, things that we can change. Number two, things that we can't change. And three, the things that God changes. So, first and foremost, what can we change? And this comes from verse 24. Do you not, from our text. Don't you know that the runners in a stadium all race, but only one receives the prize? Run in such a way to win the prize. Paul here, in speaking to the Corinthians, he has this habit, whether it be to the Ephesians, the Romans, the Corinthians, he tries to relate it to something that they are familiar with. Corinth is a city in Greece, and in Greece you have the very first Olympic Games. We have the Winter Olympics coming up in February. The very first Olympic Games were over 2,000 years ago in Greece. And they had athletic competitions well before the first Olympics, in the time of Alexander there, which was about 330 BC. You have boxing and running, which Paul mentions here. You have wrestling, javelin throws. Matter of fact, the very first marathon was ran in Greece. It was for a runner who came from a battle at Marathon, a little town called Marathon, Greece. The Persians had invaded. The Greeks defeated them miraculously, even though being outnumbered 3-1, and they said, hey, we got to get someone to Athens to tell everyone that we've won this battle, or they're all going to panic, thinking we've lost. So they sent this runner 26.2 miles, which is where we get the distance for the marathon today. And here's the part of the story they don't tell you. He ran all the way back to Athens, shouted the Greek word for victory, which is Nike, yes, like the shoe, and died. Ran 26.2 miles so hard, so fast, yelled to everybody, Nike, and died. Gives you a whole new respect for marathon runners, don't it? Or ultra marathon runners, for that note. So Paul is relating this back to the Corinthians, and he's saying, and it brings up a few things that we can change, some things that we can make a resolution about. One of the things being fitness, or a lot of people, I can't tell you how many commercials I've seen already for the diets. Lose 20 pounds in 2 weeks, and I'm thinking, that's unhealthy. Or get in shape, go all Bowflex, all these other little things coming out. But it is something that can change, that we can affect. I can change that. I'm probably one of the 1% of the world's population that's trying to gain a pound. And I can tell you that probably next week, the YMCA is going to be packed with people trying to get in shape. They'll be there for 2 to 6 weeks, and then they'll go back to normal. And then you'll have a few that's going to be there the whole year and do exactly what they say they're going to do. And again, that's something we can change. It's something we can affect. We have the power to do that. Another thing we can change, knowledge and intelligence. We have access to libraries and books. If you don't, just come to the house. I promise you I have a book. Mom's already rolling her eyes at me. One of the things I did when I got out after getting a job for a little while is I went back to school, still trying to do that. Everyone has the power to go back. There are people at Milligan right now who are in their 40s and 50s seeking a degree. And you don't have to go to college to increase your knowledge and intellect. We have a Bible. We have books and books and books that you can read, and you can gain knowledge and intellect that way. That's, again, something that we have the power to change. our wardrobe. If you want to do that, you can change your wardrobe. There's several TV shows and movies about the ugly guy or girl who gets a makeover and suddenly they're handsome or whatever. If you want to change your clothes, you can do that. You have the ability. You can change who you hang around. You can change who you're friends with. If you want to do that. I've done that a time or two. These are all things that we can affect. These are all things that we have the power to say, I'm going to change that. Go for it. If you really want to, and if it's biblically motivated. However, there are things we can't change. Things that we don't have the power to affect. Number one is our sinful nature. Every human being, when they are born with a nature that is inherently sinful. We cannot change that on our own. Hang with me because this part gets a little hard, but it does get better, I promise. In Psalms 51, David tells us that he was conceived in sin from his mother's womb. And from the moment he stepped foot on the earth, he was sinful. Same thing with everyone who was born after Adam and Eve. Paul tells us in Romans 6 that we are all slaves to sin. That's not to say that we are not capable of doing something decent or something good. I have the power right now to be nice to every one of you. I have the power right now to walk out that door and leave you all sitting here. There are people that have the capability to walk through that door, throw in a grenade, and we're all going to be dead. There are also people who could jump on that grenade and save all of our lives at the cost of their own. We are capable of doing something good. St. Augustine from the 5th and 6th century called it civic goods, meaning if there's a burning car out there with a child in it, someone has the capacity to go over there and save that child. That's a civic good. The problem is, what was the motivation behind it? To bring glory to the person? Solely for the purpose of saving the child? Or was it to bring glory to God? This is where things get tricky. This is why Isaiah said that even our good deeds are filthy rags. Because although they may be good deeds, if they're not motivated with a desire to bring God glory, they are still sin. And we do not have the capacity to change that nature on our own. Another thing we can't change is other people's sinful nature. I can say, I can possibly persuade Mom and Dad to go eat at Riverwalk Pizza today instead of Subway. I cannot, however, tell them what's going to motivate them to do that. I cannot change. I can go out to someone on the street and preach to them and say, you should not go into that bar. And I could possibly persuade them to not go into that bar that day. I cannot change the nature in and of itself because they may just go back the next day. Paul said in regards to preaching that he planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In other words, Paul did not change them. All he did was share the gospel with them. Same thing with me. If I go to someone on the street and I preach to them, I myself am not responsible for any change that happens in that person. God is the one who brings the increase. I'll get to that in a minute. The third thing we cannot change is God. And praise God for that. Because if God could be changed, then he is a human. Fortunately, he is not a God. Fortunately, he's not a human. He is God. Fortunately, his law does not change, but neither does his grace or his mercy. His judgment is just, but his grace is gracious. So praise be to God that he is not changeable. Which brings me to the third point. Things that God changes. I mentioned that I can't change someone's sinful nature and I can't change my own. But God does do that. Through the power of preaching, Paul was able to preach the gospel. And although Paul himself did nothing to change the person, God used Paul to spread the gospel. And when the gospel grabbed hold of the person he was preaching to, that's when God was able to change them. This is why Jesus' Great Commission, go into all the world and preach the gospel. This is why Paul constantly speaks of preaching the gospel, even in the last couple verses of our text. So I do not run like one who runs aimlessly or box like one beating the air. Instead, I discipline my body and bring it under strict control so that after preaching to others, I myself will not be disqualified. Everyone before they are converted to Christianity is just like someone who runs for no purpose. Someone who boxes and just fighting the air. They're doing physical training, which, as we mentioned in the community meditation, does benefit some, but it does not benefit in the life to come. But with God, that person has changed, and now they are no longer fighting air, and they're no longer running aimlessly. They are now running for a purpose. They are running to win a prize, a crown that does not perish, because God has changed them. And when he changes you, as Paul mentions in the other part of Romans 6, he changes you from being a slave to sin to being a willing slave to God. A slave all the same, but a willing slave. Because now you want to serve him, you want to do what he says. Whereas before conversion, we did not want to do what he wanted to say. Matter of fact, our complaint was, God, if you didn't make that law, then I wouldn't be in trouble right now. But when God changes us, now we want to serve him. We want to follow that law. And when we break it, we tremble. Because as Christians, we know what we have done. And we beg for forgiveness and to become stronger. And God does indeed make us stronger through the process of justification through faith. Indeed, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and see, the new has come. Because now, when God changes you, you are not who you used to be. You're not perfect, but you're not who you used to be. Now you're striving. Now you're being justified. You're being sanctified. You are fighting to become more like Christ, fighting for souls, becoming fishers of men. Because now Christ has entered you and changed you. And when he does that, he doesn't just nudge you. He doesn't say, hey, you should probably do this. No, he grabs hold of you and holds on tight. And he moves you, period. There are some people who worry, how do I know if Christ is the one knocking on the door of my heart? How do I know Christ is the one who wants me to do this? You'll know because you will do it. Because when Christ comes upon you, it's with such force and such power, you cannot resist it. If it's Christ. It's impossible to resist God. And with changing us, God changes one other thing. Our eternal destination. Before conversion, before becoming Christians, all humanity, plural, all, is condemned. God doesn't have to make us sin. That's another question some people worry about. If God is irresistible, then why does he make me sin? He doesn't make you sin. You do it on your own. He just lets you do it. He doesn't have to make you. You're going to do it anyway. Because you're born with that sinful nature. You can thank Adam and Eve for that. But what God does do is prevent you from destroying yourself and others long enough so that if he chooses to save you, you are indeed saved. And when he saves you from the hellfire and damnation that you so justly deserve. That's one thing that I worry about sometimes. People say God is fair. No, if God was fair, we would all be dead. God is the one thing in life, this one or the next, that is better than fair. He is gracious, and he is merciful. Rather than so fairly sending us all to hell, he saves his children and brings them to a new home, far better than this one. I believe it's 2 Corinthians where it says that no eye has seen, nor ear has heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. This earth was created in 6 days. God's been working on heaven for over 2,000 years. Imagine how great that'll be. Oh, wait. You can't. It's just that good. And to those who are saved, they are indeed saved. And so, rather than a New Year's resolution, might I suggest a new life resolution? If you are not his, and if he is knocking on the door, then let's go. Let's have a new life. And let that life end with sleep and rest as we enter through the pearly gates. I'll leave you this morning with a quote. Oh, to enter this new year with the realization that the one who loved me and gave himself for me accompanies me into it. Then why should I fear what may lay ahead of me? Whatever my circumstances, whatever changes I may pass through, whatever I may be called upon to bear, Christ himself will be my constant companion. But only faith, not imagination or feelings, will be able to realize and appreciate his presence. Arthur Pink. This morning, if Christ is the one who's knocking on your heart, if Christ is the one going with you into the new year, then let's not make only a new year's resolution, but let us have a new life's resolution. And all the people said, Amen. Any announcements?